we're still talking about prayer. Is everybody praying? Everybody's praying. All right. This morning, I want us to start with the song, I Love You, Lord, on page 943 in our song books. 943. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you. That's a beautiful song. Let's go ahead and begin with the word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study this morning. Some that are coming. And yes, people are coming. People are coming. I sometimes talk to the missionaries that are in Africa, and they say that as they begin to preach, there's only a few people, but by the end, there's hundreds. And so when I see people coming in, I'm reminded of that is a good thing. So blessings to all of you that are coming this morning. Let us bow. And dear kind, merciful Father, we are just so grateful and we're so thankful, and we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory that's due you. And we're thankful for the provision that you provided for us this last week and all of this new year, Father. You've blessed us in so many ways. They're so innumerable that we can't even begin to write all of them down, but we want to say thank you, Father, for all that you do for us on a daily basis. And even now as we are here in this place, you provided this place, and you knew that this provision would be needed even before the foundations of the earth, Father, and you set it into place so that it would be that we would be here this morning. Father, we're thankful that you sent your son, Jesus, to this earth to live a perfect life under the law and to teach the people, to teach his disciples, and that the word is being spread all over the world, that he died on the cross, that he was buried and he rose again, and that he ascended into heaven. Father, we're so appreciative of that because that's why we are brothers and sisters in Christ, because we've all obeyed the gospel. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless this congregation, be with the leaders, Father, be with the members, be with all of us, Father, because we are all your disciples. Help us to be motivated and dedicated all the way into eternity, Father, because we're on fire for you, because you're on fire for us, and you love us, and help us to exhibit our respect and our acknowledgement of your power and what you've done for us and what you're doing for us, and what you will do for us in the future, Father. Help us to acknowledge that by our behavior, by the things that we do, by the things that we say, that we are truly converted, Father, and that we're dedicated to holding up your word and teaching your word and living your word. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are on their way. Father, pray that you would give them safety here. We're thankful for all of us that have made it so far. We just thank you and appreciate you for that, Father. Father, we ask that you would be with our leaders of our country. Father, pray that you would bless them, that they will not enact laws that will hinder us from serving you openly as we do so now. Be with our brothers and sisters around the globe that struggle with this problem and that are dealing with leaders that are hindering them from worshiping in spirit and in truth. Father, we just ask that you continue to bless us. Be with us as we continue to study about prayer. Father, pray that we will continue to increase our prayer, that we'll do more in 2024 than we've ever done before. Father, thank you for all that you do. It's in Christ's name we pray and give all praise and thanks. Amen. Yes. So prayer. What do you guys think about prayer? Everybody like prayer? Everybody like talking about prayer? Pray without ceasing. Yes. And did you tell anybody about prayer this week? Did you tell them that your preacher is talking about prayer all the month of January? Tell them that they need to talk to God, that they need to have a conversation with God? Did you tell somebody this week, this last week, that they needed to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you invite somebody to church this last week? Did you text somebody? I was able to talk to a lot of people this past week. People are seeing that I'm back in town and I'm getting text messages, and people are looking at the Facebook and many other places where we're on TikTok, all different type of things, Snapchat, whatever, and people are just excited that they see me back in town and they see my family in town. It's amazing. You don't know how much people miss you until you're not there, and then you come back and they are excited to see you. And so I'm looking forward to seeing more people appearing in church, contacting me, having Bible studies, all of those things. These are things that we should be praying about, because we all that are children of God, we have been bought with the price, and we do not belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. Amen. And so as people of God, we need to live that life. Our behavior should show that on a daily basis, that we belong to Christ and that we've crucified the flesh and we've done away with those things. Amen. And so I'm praying that the church will continue to grow. I'm praying for workers. I'm praying for those that are wanting to tell others about God. I'm praying for those that want to hear about God, and praying for opportunity for the gospel. Because that's what we've been talking about, is prayer. People say, sometimes I put on Facebook, I say, we need to pray about this. And people say, Solomon, you need to take action. I said, the first action that we need to take is to talk to the one that holds all the power. And the one that holds all the power and the resources is God. And once we are humble enough to acknowledge that and access God's power and direction and distribution of power, then we can move forward as a congregation, as a church, as individuals in doing what God would have us to do. Amen. Because God knows all the people that have not heard the gospel, that need to hear the gospel. And he knows all the people that you're assigned to, that you're going to talk to and have influence over in spreading the gospel message. That's the God that we serve, is it not? You guys are quiet this morning. I don't know. I'm excited this morning because I serve a living God. And it's not me that I'm up here by myself. It's because God has given me the energy to do it. Amen. We talked about humility last week. We've got to be humble enough to recognize that it's God that gives us the power to go and to move about on this earth. All the provisions that we have is because of him. We may do work, but if he didn't provide us the energy and the opportunity, we wouldn't be able to make the decision to do good. Amen. Y'all follow me this morning? Yes. Oh, I got a question, Tommy.
So, you know, as you get older, you kind of look back on the seasons in your life.
Yes.
There is a direct correlation in my life. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You cannot have faith without prayer, I don't believe.
No.
Because prayer is the ultimate exercise of faith.
Yes.
Because you're not praying to an empty chair.
That's right.
That's something to think about.
That is so true. Did anybody this last week write down some of the things that God has answered? Anybody else?
I wore out my hand.
You wore out your hand. That's right. You wore out your hand because there's so many prayers that God have answered. I mean, just this last month, just this month of January, God has answered so many prayers already. It's so amazing. Some people have been praying the long prayers, you know, for the last 25 years, and God is just answering those in the month of January of 2024. Some people have been praying for 30 years, 40 years, because they say mothers are always praying for their children, but fathers pray for their children as well. We all should be praying for our children, each other, those that are lost. Our prayers should be going up in concern for everybody, including ourselves, that our prayer life increases, that we get better in 2024 with communicating with God, because God's available. You don't have to schedule an appointment with God. You don't. When I have meetings with people, I have to schedule, and I can only meet one person at a time. Sometimes I can meet a whole group at a time, but they all have to be talking about and dealing with the same thing. But God is available to listen to each and every one of us in this room simultaneously. I believe that's the correct word. He can hear what our requests are. He can hear our praise. So God is waiting and listening to hear from all of us. He really, really wants to hear from us. So this morning I want to talk about things for which to pray. Our first verse that we want to look at is Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Here in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, excuse me, says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself does what? Intercedes for us, intercession, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? God really wants to hear from you. He really wants to hear from you. He really does. And the Spirit, Jesus, and God all want to hear from us. So number one, the things which we should pray for is forgiveness of sins. That's an important piece for us as Christians. If the Christian with Jesus as advocate confesses his or her sins to him, God is faithful and just to forgive him and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. We look over at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. That's the passage that supports this idea about Jesus being our advocate. An advocate. What is an advocate? Anybody? Someone who talks for you. who knows a famous lawyer? Ooh. I need some water. Let me step back. There's some water up here. Who knows a good lawyer? Who knows a good lawyer? See people blushing, yes? You know a good lawyer? Who's that good lawyer? Okay, Mr. Walsh, okay. All right, she knows a good lawyer. So we've concluded that an advocate is like a lawyer, someone that speaks on behalf of another. And that is so powerful because usually when we need a lawyer, we're stressed out, we're tunnel vision, and we need somebody to help us out. We need somebody that can speak for us. He has your interests at heart. He's not looking for two-thirds or a third of the reward. Jesus has your best interests in mind. Why do we say that Jesus has our best interests in mind? Yes? Okay, he died for us. He loves us. He loves us. There's some lawyers that care for their clients. They get in, they have a relationship with them for years and years, and they develop a close relationship, and they start helping their clients. But here we have an advocate. We have a lawyer that is more vested in us than any other one, because he's our what? He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our God. He died for us. He bled and died for us. He's heavily invested in us. He wants us to succeed. He wants success for us more than we want it for ourselves. He loves us so much. He loves everybody in this whole world. That's the kind of advocate that we have. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, if you will. Here he says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Listen. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Look at verse 2. "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's nothing to be quiet about. That's something to be excited about. That's more than your best team getting a touchdown. Has anybody been there when you were excited? Or you guys are just used to Jesus being that way? It's just common. That's the way Jesus, that's just Jesus. That's just the way Jesus is. I'm used to it. No, when I was just reading that, I was just excited about it. Because he continues to do it. He was doing it for those that have passed away that are Christians. Those that have passed away that I've known that passed away years and years ago. Those folks that used to be in church. Jesus was their advocate. The people that were righteous and were on fire for Christ back in the days, as you can remember back to when you were first started as a Christian, or maybe you grew up in the church. He was an advocate for them. And the reason why I wanted Jesus as my advocate is because I began to understand who Jesus really is and that I needed a Savior. I came to that point when I was 12. I know I needed to obey the gospel because I couldn't talk to God by myself. I needed Jesus. I needed to be baptized into Christ. I needed to become a part of the body of Christ. You would hear all these sermons and the excitement and all of that, and I was like, wow, they're actually telling the truth. I started reading my Bible. Said, that preacher's just not making that up. That's what the scriptures teach. That the creator of this world is my advocate. I wanted him to be my advocate. I wanted him to speak on my behalf. Because people don't have that capacity. Jesus' capacity to be my advocate is there. Sometimes we don't talk about capacity. Sometimes we get mad at people because they're not able to provide things for us. But if we're honest with ourselves, we ought to understand that people are limited in their capacity to do things. And once we realize that, that eliminates a lot of anger against people. It was just our mismeasurement of their capacity. But here in 1 John, John is letting us know that Jesus has the capacity to be our advocate. All we have to do is be in Christ. Amen. He is our advocate. That's very powerful. When you begin to learn who Jesus is and begin to utilize Christ in your life, the more you know that you need him. They say some of my friends that have become doctors and they have their PhD, they say, Solomon, now I know I need to study more because I don't know much. Amen. When I got to the point where I knew that I needed to be a Christian and obey the gospel, I said, I need him even more. I still need him more. More and more every day, I long for that ability and opportunity to be able to have him as my advocate. We've got to realize that. We've got to feel that. We've got to own it. And when we're humble enough to recognize Jesus as our advocate, it changes our lives. When we do sin, we know we can come and ask God for forgiveness. But Jesus is my lawyer. Jesus is my advocate. That's something to hold on to. That makes me, when I fall short, I know I can come to the throne of God. I can come boldly to the throne, as the Hebrew writer says. To the throne of grace. Amen. You guys are quiet. You guys are quiet this morning. Yes, Richard. Yes. 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 Yes, it does. We have to recognize our capacity. I mean, people say, well, you can spend all this time watching television. Well, watching television doesn't take as much energy as it does to pray. Sometimes people say, well, you should have read your whole Bible this year. The Bible is not like other books. It's not. Because this is God's word talking to you. And when we're praying to God, it can be overwhelming. Because we know, and we're at that time when we're praying to God, we're recognizing our capacity, our flesh, that we've got to deal with the limitations. We get exhausted because of what we are doing. Now, we can go out here and run a marathon, but a marathon and prayer are very different. Go ahead, Richard. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That would probably never happen. And if it did happen, the consequences might be pretty bad. So is God above my wife? So if I choose to get in bed,
yes.
What is that saying about my relationship with God?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So setting that time to pray in a different location, where you can have that attentiveness as much as you want. Some people pray in the closet, but it's dark in the closet. You close the door. Many people have different places. I have a friend. She decorated this little corner in her hallway, and she put a chair there, and she's decorated with lights and all types of things, and that's her prayer room or her war room. And that's where she prays. And it's pretty cool to see it. I was like, wow, a bunch of us went over to see it. But I believe that, like you were saying, putting prayer time in a place where you can really focus, because getting in a bed can be a place to go to sleep. And it is a place to go to sleep. But there are some times when you are just praying all night right there in the bed. But location is important. Being intentional about prayer, because we know what our strengths and weaknesses are. We all are very different. And some people can pray in the bed. Some people can pray here and be intentional about your prayer life. Writing down the things that you need to address with God. Being prepared before you go to God in prayer. Even though he knows everything, it's almost like you're taking an inventory of what I need to talk to God about today. And you write that little list down. You start saying, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I want to talk to God about this. I want to talk to God about that. And you just write it down. It's not always necessary to have a scheduled time, but that's a good start, is having a scheduled time, having a particular place that you pray, whether it's in the closet, wherever it might be, where you can actually speak to God out loud. I like talking out loud. I do. I like talking out loud, but I like to hear myself talk to God, because it's different than just me saying it in my mind. I like to hear it. And so location's important, but also being intentional about what you want to talk to him about. Make a little list as you go through the day. Some people have little note cards. Sometimes you have a memory verse card. On the other side, write some of the things that you want to specifically talk to our Heavenly Father about. The things that you're dealing with, because all of us deal with different things. It doesn't matter how far we are in our relationship with God. There's always something that we are dealing with. There's always someone that we're praying about. I met a friend. He texted, called me yesterday, and I met with him for 2 hours yesterday. I was so glad to be able to spend that time with him. He's like, do you have that much time? I was like, you're not wasting my time. We need to talk. And it was nice to be able to talk to him. And now I'm praying for him. And I'm praying for a lot of folks that are in his group that I know. Because we all have friend groups, don't we? And one person kind of represents that group. But just think of it. If we keep praying for these folks in these different groups that we have, maybe they might be led to Christ, because we already have the influence. We already have the influence. That's why they're talking to you. They're talking to you. It's no mistake that they came to talk to you or text you or email you. Look at it as an opportunity for the gospel. Look at it as an opportunity to influence people for God. You might just be the person that just pushes them towards God. And then the relay, the baton is passed to somebody else. But show up and show out for Jesus in that opportunity. Amen? And pray about it. Pray about it. But the things which we should pray about is forgiveness of sins. That's what we were looking at here in this first point. The next is wisdom. Wisdom, we should pray for wisdom, because in these opportunities, as we are talking to folks, we need wisdom. We want wisdom from God. How do you want me to approach this person who you died for? We've got to see the value in the person that we are talking to, because how we look at somebody is how we're going to treat them. If we see that they're valuable to Christ, then they should be valuable to us. And I think I've mentioned before about my prayer that I usually pray is I'm always asking God, help me to love people the way that you love them. That's a high mark, isn't it? But in loving these people and striving to love them, we need to ask for wisdom and how to deal with them appropriately. In James chapter 1, verse 5, talks about wisdom. James 1:5, we know this scripture. We know it. It says, but if, James 1:5, but if any of you lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God has that capacity to give you and I wisdom with each person that we talk to. Whether it's our spouse, whether it's our children, whether it's our friend from a long time ago, whether it's people that we've had run-ins with in the past, we need to ask God for wisdom in how we should talk to this person, this individual that Christ died for, that he loved so much that he died on the cross for. Because we want to have that positive influence on this person. We want to lead them to Christ. When we go from this life, we want to take people with us, don't we? We want to win souls for Christ. But we need to ask for wisdom in knowing how to do it. Who should we ask except the one that created that individual? Like he created us. We need wisdom in knowing what to say, how to say. Sometimes we just need to just zip it and just exhibit behaviors, amen, that are appropriate for being a child of God. Because people are watching us and looking at our behavior. People usually remember how you made them feel. How you behaved years ago. People can come and tell a story. It's amazing how people tell me stories. I put together memorial services and funeral services, and people have all these stories, and they write up all these stories like, wow, I didn't know that. And some people I've known for many years, but I didn't know that aspect of them. But people remember. People remember. And so we need to do our best to ask God for wisdom when we're talking to people, but also how we are behaving. Help me to behave correctly. Help me to have the right impression. Help me to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. That's right. To be the best that I can be. Because people are not unrealistic. They know that we struggle just like they do. Because sometimes you have some people that are out there like, oh, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. No. But the power is in how you repent. See, that's the power. When you actually utilize Christ, your advocate, and you make that change in your life, you really put an impression on them. Because they'll remember how you are humble enough to say, I'm sorry, I know I have done wrong, can you forgive me? Now the ball's in their hand. Now they got to bounce it because you've already passed it to them. You've done what was right, and they'll always remember that you did what was right. You corrected the wrong, because usually when you have a relationship with somebody and it's always going great all the time, those are nice relationships, but the relationships that really grow stronger is when there becomes a problem and you work through the problem and overcome it. Then it's, you become stronger. It's like lifting those heavy weights. The only way you're going to get stronger is to keep lifting them. Your muscles atrophy or deteriorate if you don't work out. So in relationships, you got to have sometimes some striving together, some struggles. Because in the struggles, that's where you become stronger. Or you either grow or you go. That's what I say when it comes to struggles. Sometimes you either grow or you go. That's another sermon. I don't have to leave that alone. But let's get to this wisdom. This wisdom, things which to pray for. So the two things we've looked at so far this morning is forgiveness of sins, and secondly, wisdom. Then number three, the daily necessities of life. Now, is this easy for you to do, to ask God for the necessities of life? Anybody has a problem with that? Recognizing that it's God that is giving you the necessities of life, that he's your provider. Because sometimes when I'm talking, people say, yeah, I've got to go do this. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But I never hear them say anything about God helping me do all these things, or acknowledging that it's God that provided me the opportunity to go to my job, to drive to my job, to catch the ferry, or whatever, how you get to work. Some people are working remotely, but it's God that's giving you the power and the energy and the provision for you to do what you're doing. I believe that we as Christians need to acknowledge that on a daily basis. When we're talking to people in the world, we're talking to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to say, well, I'm going to do this if the Lord wills. I notice that humbles me when I say that, because I'm acknowledging that I'm dependent on God's decision. It's God that gives that. And he can say, okay, Solomon, that's, your life is ended right there. I was watching a video this past week. A preacher was up preaching, and he died in the pulpit. He was preaching his last sermon. It was his scheduled last sermon. It was scheduled his last sermon. It was a church that he built for 54 years, built it up, and he was passing it on to somebody else, and he died in the pulpit. He delivered a powerful message, but he died in the pulpit. God said, it's over. Your time is up. As the old preachers used to say, come from labor to reward. And it was like, wow. So what I'm saying is that God is the one that's in charge. We all have that clock that's running out. And we don't know what clock we have. Am I talking to anybody this morning? We have clocks over our head. We have clocks. We have expiration dates in this flesh. We all do, and we need to recognize that. And so the thing that we need to pray about is the daily necessities of life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, if we turn over there, if you will, Matthew 6, 11, Jesus in his prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Some people might say that Jesus was saying this because some people were paid daily. They went from day to day not knowing if they were going to get a job, and they were working that way. But that wasn't the case for all people. But here Jesus is saying, give us this day our daily bread. Even if you have a job that you've had for many, many years, you don't know if you might get a pink slip. Hello? I remember back in the Army, back in the 90s, people were getting pink slips. People were getting those pink slips. People were taking their lives because they had depended on that job as people in the Army. They were dependent on that. When they got the pink slip, they lost their minds, because this is all that they knew since they were 16, 17, 18 years old, and they didn't know how to process or know what was next. But their minds weren't focused in knowing that God is the provider. It's not them. See, when we think that we're doing something and we look at it and do an inventory, well, I'm not able to do anything else than this, then what options do you have? But when you understand that it's God that provides for you, there's so much hope. Doesn't matter if you lose your job. It doesn't matter if you get fired or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is going to take care of you. He promised that he's going to take care of us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But it is challenging in the midst of losing your job. It is challenging. But it brings you to an understanding that I can either give up, or I can recognize that God's going to take care of business like he said he was. Because the same God that was taking care of you before you got the pink slip is the same God that's going to take care of you after you get the pink slip. So we got to recognize God. When we recognize God, our behavior changes. We have options with God. And that's why we need to pray for our daily necessities of life. We need to ask God for these. One that's really important is protection from temptation. Protection from temptation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. Protection from temptation. First Corinthians 10:13. First Corinthians 10:13. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." You'll be able to put up with the temptation, is what he's saying. God makes a way for escape. I said a couple weeks ago, look for the escape. He provided it for you. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to be tempted. And the other thing, there's nothing new out there. There's no new temptation. I think I said a couple weeks ago, there's no iPhone 15 sin. It doesn't have something new that just came out. I didn't get the update from the headquarters that there's a new sin out there. No, there is no new sin. Everything is common to us. We all struggle and deal with different things. We all have things that we're facing. And so we need to ask God to help us. To help us to look for that escape route. But we should be motivated anyway to avoid sin in the first place. My saying about sin is, procrastination is great when temptation comes. Tell the devil tomorrow, I don't have time today for that. I don't have time for that today. You know how sometimes people say, oh, I don't have time for you today. You need to tell the devil that. You need to tell the devil that. I don't have time for that. I'm serving God. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself, but I belong to Christ. So those temptations, you can take them somewhere else. You can take them somewhere else. And so, are there any questions about anything we've talked about this morning? Things for which to pray for? I'm looking forward to some results from all of your prayers. I'm looking for changes happening in this congregation from your prayers. I'm hoping that these lessons are motivating you to get better at praying, that you value prayer, that you don't take it for granted. When you meet God, you don't want God to say, hey, you know, you could have prayed a little bit more. I mean, you should have prayed for this, that, or the other. I'm just talking. But I'm just saying that do your best. Do your best to do better. Do your best to do better at praying. Strive to be better. Strive to do more in 2024 in prayer. Thank you this morning.